I'm Pastor Kerry Willis, and I welcome you to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks.
And I'm Grayson. We're so glad that you've joined us today. Happy New Year.
Yes, it is a new year, and we're in the afterglow of the holy day season. Actually, you know, if you go back to traditional ideas of Christmas, we're still in the Christmas season. You've heard the song, The 12 Days of Christmas. Well, a lot of people think that the 12 days of Christmas precede Christmas and end on Christmas Day, when in actuality, the 12 days of Christmas begin on December 25th, and they go for 12 days forward. So here we are at the beginning of a new year, and we are between Christmas and Epiphany, but in the traditional sense, we are in the Christmas season yet. So I hope today we will be able to make something of that, and make sure that we don't let Christmas get away from us, but especially that we don't let the holy day season get away from us before it really has. So today is going to be a little bit of a saturation day, and I know that we can't get too much of Christmas in the world we live in. So we want to talk a little bit today about the Christmas story. As we have come into this season after Christmas proper, that is December 25th, we still want to grab hold of the thoughts of this holy day season and not let them go. And maybe the Christmas season went by so quickly for you, maybe you were very busy or distracted and you feel like you missed Christmas. Well, good news today on Front Porch Talks, because it's still Christmas here. We believe that Christmas should be every day, but we certainly are still in the Christmas season because we're looking forward to next Sunday, which will be that moment when we remember the wise men or the magi coming to Bethlehem. And so just reach in and enjoy Christmas a little bit more with us today. I want to talk on the topic of born away in Bethlehem's manger. You know, we have the song, Away in a Manger. And with that, I've taken the words and kind of pulled a few and kind of combined them with other thoughts. And I want to make sure we don't miss a main message of the Christmas season. Born away in Bethlehem's manger. That's a question. Born away in Bethlehem's manger? That's kind of the way I'm asking it in this setting today. Yes, Jesus was born away in our manger. And why was that? By our manger, I mean he was born on earth, and earth kind of is our home. His home was heaven, and he was born away in our manger. I'm going to talk about that more as we go forward, but that ought to be enough to kind of get you interested. Let me read a few scriptures from the Old Testament first, a prophecy about Christmas. From the prophet Micah, chapter 5 and verse 2, we read these words, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." What a mysterious, marvelous message we find in Micah 5 and verse 2. I'd like to go to the New Testament now in the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew 1 and verse 23, we hear these words, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. More mystery, more marvelous. Then to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 35, we read these words, "The angel answered, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Of course, those are the words of the angel Gabriel to the peasant girl in Nazareth. Her name, we know, was Mary. And then to Luke chapter 2, which is where we often rest our heart at Christmas time. Luke chapter 2, and I'll begin with verse 6 and read through verse 16. "While they were there in Bethlehem, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.' But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And then John 8, verse 58, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 58. "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." Wow, talk about mystery and marvelous. What a statement, what a declaration. And then Galatians 4 and verse 19, Paul's letter to the church at Galatia. "My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." So we're taking the story a little deeper in doctrine, going from the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem to this idea that the Apostle Paul shares, "My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." And finally, the last verse in this series of marvelous and mysterious verses, John 3 and verse 7, Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, "You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again." Now, here's the message that we want to get here in the afterglow of Christmas proper. The idea is that there's two kinds of births we ought to consider around Christmas time. One is the birth of the Savior for us. The other is the rebirth of the Savior in us. And that's what these scriptures are getting at in a very marvelous way. Now, before we go and we talk a little more about some of these verses and kind of lay them out clearly, we'll ask Grayson to pray a prayer for us here between Christmas Day and Epiphany Sunday. This is New Year's Sunday. And so all of this is happening at once, a whole lot to keep our heart attached to and our eyes focused on. So Grayson, why don't you pray here in the afterglow of Christmas proper, December 25th, and here at New Year's, and then looking forward to Epiphany Sunday.
Lord, we come before you today and we ask that even though we've come past Christmas Day, which was last Sunday, but still in the afterglow of Christmas and still looking toward Epiphany, that we won't miss the true meaning that we experience this Christmas, and that's the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, and that we'll know, as Dad has said before on Front Porch Talks, that every day can be Christmas for the believer, and we believe that, Lord, and we just believe that it's never too late just to remember the birth of Jesus and the coming of Jesus and the meaning, the reason for his coming, which was to die on the cross for our sins. Help us to never take that for granted, Lord, and to realize how significant a price that was for you to pay to send your only Son here on earth to be born and to live a life that he didn't have to live. He didn't have to live a life like me and like Dad and like any other human being, but he chose to because he loved the Father and he wanted the Father's will, and also he loved us enough to die for us. And just thank you for that, Lord. And I just pray that we won't miss this, Lord. And thank you for your many blessings and everything you do for us, everything you've done for us, and everything you're going to do for us, Lord. So we look toward Epiphany Sunday with anticipation, Lord, and we thank you for all this in your name. Amen.
Amen. And so, as I said before the prayer, we're looking here in the afterglow of Christmas proper, December 25th, here at New Year's, looking toward Epiphany. We want to think about two births. The Savior was born to us, and the Savior wants to be reborn in us. So first of all, we're going to look at Christ's birth in history. Luke 1 and verse 35, the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Now for a moment, think about the Christmas carol, "Away in a Manger." I referred to that a little earlier. What does the first word, "away," mean? Well, I personally believe "away" means this. The Christ child, the little Lord Jesus, was born into this world, not from this world. He entered our world from the outside. He's not from here, but came from away. He came from a ways off, as we would say back in my home place, away in a manger. The baby Jesus did not crawl onto the scene out of our history. He appeared center stage from the outside. He had no earthly biological father. He was sent to us from another world. Yes, from a ways off. Therefore, never think of Jesus merely as the most perfect human being the human race can produce. He is much more than that. He is a being for whom we, the entire human race, cannot claim really any credit for. Yes, Mary partnered with the Holy Spirit, but, you know, he came to us from the outside. Jesus was not a man who became God, but he was God incarnate. God crawled into human skin from the outside. This is the incarnation. The life of Christ was and still is the most high and the most holy entering through the most humble. That's why, I mean, if you ever wonder why, that's why the birth of our Lord was an advent. In other words, it was an arrival with a capital A. It was an appearance with a capital A of God in a human body. So Grace and Christ was born into our history. He was born from the outside. He came to meet us where we are. There's a song that I heard years ago. When we could not go to where Jesus was, he came to us. And that's exactly what Christmas is all about, that he was born away in a manger. He was from a ways off, and he was a long ways from home. So it could be the song has this heavenly slant where they see the Son of God, the darling of heaven, Jesus Christ, being born away, a ways off from heaven, away in a manger. Grayson, when you think about the historical reality of Jesus entering our world, what kind of things come to mind, or just speak to anything I've said so far, but we want to talk now about Jesus the Savior being born unto us.
Well, as far as comparing it to anything else in history, I don't think there's anything else in history up until that point that compares to that, and certainly his resurrection would be something that would compare to it, but in relation to Jesus himself, nothing compares. It's never happened before God in flesh, and it's never happened since. So I just think it's something that we shouldn't take lightly, something we shouldn't take for granted, that God sent his only Son to become human, to dwell among us, and to pay for our sins on the cross one day after his birth. It would be 33 years after that. And so I think it's very significant, and it's the only time that we've ever had a virgin birth. And it's hard to fathom from a human perspective. I mean, we know it happened and we read the Bible and read all about it, but from human point of view, like I said, it's never happened before or since. So it's just very significant, I believe.
Significant. Yes, sir. That would be the understatement of the century. It was significant, the birth of our Savior. I mean, we were a world lost. We were hopeless. We were spinning out of control with no one to care except God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, will not be lost, but will have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into this world to condemn the world, but to save the world through his Son. And this is the beautiful history point that we cannot miss. You know, Grayson, a lot of people in our world, I suppose, believe there's no such thing as Jesus. It's amazing to me that our very calendar was divided because of his arrival. You know, we have AD, we have BC, and he came and he split the calendar in half because when he came, everything changed. And right there was a big crescendo placed in the history of mankind, womankind. There was this idea that things would never, ever be the same because we were going quickly to destruction. But he came and said, I'm going to give you a way to be saved from destruction. And so we know that Christ was born into our history. But why? I mean, Jesus was born away in our manger that we might be born again in his mercy. That's the answer to the question. Christ was born into our history, but why? Let me repeat that. Jesus was born away in our manger that we might be born again in his mercy. And so we know that Christ was born in history. But the second idea is even more grand, perhaps, at least it is to us. Christ's birth in us. In other words, we are reborn, and in a sense, he's reborn in us. Galatians 4 and verse 19, the Apostle Paul encouraging the church at Galatia, "My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." So the idea is Mary would be the first of many believers, many people of faith, in whom Christ would be formed. Now, he was formed physically in her. She partnered with God so that the incarnation could happen for all creation. That is, that God could come, and he could come through his Son and become like us so that we could become like him. But, you know, we also can have Christ born in us. Just as our Savior arrived into human history from the outside in by being born in our crude earthly manger, he must also be born inside us from the outside. If we are to ever have eternal life, this will have to be reality. Now, he came from the outside. He came from heaven into Bethlehem. And if we are going to have hope, he's going to have to be born from the outside into us. And this is a beautiful, marvelous mystery as well. The personal question that we need to ponder seriously and answer sincerely is this: have I allowed my personal human life to become a Bethlehem's manger, to cradle and embrace the Christ child, God's Son? So, Grayson, when you think about this idea that Christ was born in a manger in Bethlehem, but now our lives must be open as a manger for him to be born in us so that we are born again, what kind of thoughts come to your mind? I know it's really a deep water, but just tell us kind of what you're thinking about.
Well, he came to this earth willingly. He chose to come to this earth to give us the opportunity for him to come into our lives, but he won't come into our lives unless we ask him to come into our lives. It's got to be our choice, our decision to ask him to come into our lives and to take control of our lives. And so that's what I was thinking about when you were talking about making our lives available as a manger to him, is inviting him to come into our manger, meaning our heart, as he came into the manger as a baby and came into this world. So we have to invite him into our individual world. He won't force his way in.
Exactly. He really stands at the door and knocks. He talks about that in Revelation chapter 3. And it's really true that he stands at the door and knocks. And whoever hears his voice and answers that knock and opens the door, he comes in. And so it's really true to say that in Christmas 2016, and now even on the new year of 2017, God is still looking for vacant places for his Son to be born. Have I allowed him to find a modern day Bethlehem's manger in my personal soul? This is a question that we should start the new year with. You know, during my preaching series in December, I made a statement. It was the second Sunday of Advent, I believe. Could have been the third Sunday of Advent, actually. And I made the statement that without the incarnation, without Christmas, nothing else really can happen. In other words, the only thing that really happened was Christmas. Because without Christmas, we are a people most hopeless. But because of Christmas, we have hope. Because Christ came from the outside in, and he came to be our Savior, he took on skin. Because of that, we are now people who have a future and a hope. And so we need to ask the question, have we received Christmas? Have we received the story as our own? Have we found ourselves in the story? I made the statement recently that if I were a really good wood carver, I think I would carve a character that would look like myself. And I would just place Carrie Willis right there in the nativity scene with Mary and Joseph and Jesus and the cow and the donkey and the sheep and the shepherd and the magi and the angels and everyone else that was a part of that whole picture. I would just slide myself in. I like to carve myself kneeling, you know, because I want to kneel before the manger and invite the master of the manger. Yes, Jesus Christ, the baby born in Bethlehem, the one born to die for my sin. I would like to invite him on bended knee into my life, to be my life. And I don't know if you've done that yet, but today is as simple as I just said it. If by faith you want Christmas to be your story, then though Christmas proper has passed, It's still proper here on the new year opening for you to say, Jesus, I want the Christmas story to be my story. I want you to forgive me of my sins. I believe that you are the Savior of the world, but you came for me also. And I want you to pray that prayer today. You talk about a New Year's resolution. Sometimes New Year's resolutions don't hold up. This could be called a New Year's revolution instead of resolution. A revolution is when everything changes. And so I invite you today, if you've not done that, even now or at the end of the broadcast today, to take time to ask the Jesus of the manger to come into your soul and to be born again in you so that you are born again in spirit. It is impossible for me to come into the kingdom of God if I'm not born again from above by a spiritual birth, totally unlike my physical birth. Now, I know this to be true because this is what Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3 and verse 7. This very religious man, this religious teacher of Israel, he said to him, "You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again." So in order for us to have hope, two things have to happen, Grayson. Jesus must be born on earth, and we must be born again. These are the two components that lead us to true hope. What are some other things you want to add at this time?
And unless we are born again, it's nothing we can do to be good enough. It's only accepting His grace and His love and His mercy that we can be born again, as you say, be born spiritually. And we have to just accept God's goodness and His grace and His love when He sent Jesus on this earth to die for our sins into our lives. And He died for us. He came on this earth and was born and lived and died for us. So we should also want to live our lives for Him in return. I think that's the least we can do for Him is to live for Him.
Hallelujah. Yes, that's exactly. And we live for Him for us, but we live for Him for Him. He came to earth for us, and we certainly want to be born again for Him, not just by Him, but for Him. I must be born again. And that's the only reaction we can have to what Jesus said to Nicodemus. God does not command that I be born again. He just states the fact. In other words, if I ever hope to escape that second death written about in Revelation 21, I will have to choose to have His Son born inside me, away in a manger. Yes, I must allow Him to be born into my soul from the outside. Wow, it's a mysterious and marvelous thought. But I'm so glad that we have good news to share like this during this season of the year. The proof that this new birth has arrived in my life is that I surrender myself completely to God, that His Son is formed in me. You know, that's how Mary was obedient. She said to the angel Gabriel, "Be it unto me according to God's word." And so we must allow His Son now to be formed within us. And once Christ is formed within us, within me, His nature, His attitude immediately begins to work through me. God becomes evident in my skin, in my flesh. Wow, what a wonderful thought. In the same way that the Christ child made a crude manger holy by being born into it, so He makes a common man like me holy by being born again in my heart of flesh. He brings into my heart of flesh eternal life, and I have hope for eternity.
And Dad, that hope for eternity is what keeps us going day by day here in this life, because no matter what we face in this life, we know that one day all those troubles and trials will be over and we'll get to spend eternity with the Father God and the Son, Jesus Christ. And that should give us hope today and give us perseverance to persevere in this life and to look to heaven when we're having hard times, and to know that God is with us and within us and will help us get through whatever we're facing in this life.
Exactly, Grayson. And you know, without Christmas, our lives would be meaningless. We're still valuable, but without Him, we have no direction. We have no vision. And the scripture says in Proverbs 29:18, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." And I pray the song, the old song of the church, "Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart." And I think that would be a great song for us to leave you with today. Our friend Jim Cole gives us permission to use all of his music. And this is a beautiful old hymn of the church, Be Thou My Vision. At the conclusion of the song, we pray that you'll be able to say with all your heart, today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks has been a half hour of hope for my life. We like to say, let Christmas continue in your life and in ours. Peace. Shalom.
Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.